when we think about counseling or therapy, there are typically two parties involved. In therapy, you have the therapist and the client. In counseling, you can have a counselor and a counselee. However, in biblical counseling, there are always three parties involved. Join me today on this episode as we talk about those three parties: the counselor, the counselee, and the Holy Spirit. In my first episode, we spoke about how one of the unique elements of biblical counseling is the goal of counseling itself. Unlike other models of counseling, where the goal may be coping, it may be recovery, it could be stopping an addiction, it could be living a better life, or there could be many goals in regards to why someone goes to counseling. But in biblical counseling, the goal is sanctification. When we consider secular psychology or even secular models of counseling, though they may help someone, and I think many of them do, they help people in many different ways, I think that we can all more or less acknowledge that the goal of them is not sanctification. It's not Christ-likeness. But within biblical counseling, as I've mentioned before, I do not call myself, I'm not a medical doctor, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist. I'm not seeking to provide the same kinds of services that others do as it relates to things such as mental health. I do believe, again, that soul care can aid someone in mental health as well as physical health, as I do believe that we are holistic beings and both mind, body, soul, however you want to parse that. But my main focus is Christ-likeness. It's helping someone to glorify God in the midst of their problems and troubles, and to do that primarily through the means of becoming more like Jesus, being sanctified in the midst of the obstacles or troubles or problems that they have. So when we think about biblical counseling and the goal of sanctification, that changes the dynamics of the counseling itself. You see, biblical counseling has three parties involved, while most other forms of counseling are only considering two. As I mentioned in the introduction, when you think about therapy, you're thinking about a therapist and a client typically. When you're thinking about counseling, you're thinking about a counselor and a counselee. When we're thinking about biblical counseling, the other element that's added in there in light of the goal of counseling itself is the Holy Spirit. Now, in this podcast, given that it's going to be around 15 minutes, we're not going to get into the complexities of Trinitarian theology and talk about all those things. But what I do want to say on the outside is that we recognize that the Holy Spirit is not a thing, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He is a member of the Godhead, and he is the one who is given to Christians, he regenerates the Christian heart, and so he is the one who makes a sinner a saint. He makes us born again or regenerated. The Holy Spirit is also the one who sheds the love of God in the hearts of unbelievers, and in the hearts of believers, he cultivates love for God, and he ultimately also cultivates a love for other Christians and other humanity in general. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who dwells within believers, who is sanctifying them, making them more like Christ as they first are born again and then are beginning the process of sanctification. When we think about this, a good passage here is 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It says here, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." And so what we get there from the Apostle Paul is this comment of by the Spirit. And when you look at the Bible, you see that over and over again, the scriptures talk about the role of the Holy Spirit being the minister of sanctification in many ways. There's other passages that talk about how the Holy Spirit is the one who gives believers hope. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." When we think about biblical counseling, and we'll talk about this again in another episode, hope is an extremely important and even crucial element of counseling. In many ways, you don't have counseling without hope. The thing that gets counselees up in the morning and helps them be willing to actually meet with the counselor and work through their struggles or problems is hope. It's hope of change, hope of something better, hope that whatever they're going through can change and that they can be even transformed. And when thinking about a marriage, it's on the brink of basically self-imploding. It is hope that allows for that married couple to believe that they could have better days, that they could experience a marriage that is greater than anything that they've ever dreamt. That it is the hope that propels them on in counseling and working together to love one another and serve one another. Even when you have situations of trauma, it is hope that allows one to think that they will be able to at some point be able to, whether it be cope, whether it be manage, whether it be even to thrive in the midst of their traumatic experiences, that their life is not always going to be governed by their trauma. It is the hope that allows them to think of a better day and to look to a better day. And we're told that in the Christian life that hope is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is instilling and conjuring hope within the hearts of those who believe in Christ. And so when we think about biblical counseling, when we think about the actual counseling room, the way that I like to think about it is, again, that there are three parties. It takes three to counsel. You have a counselor whose ministry is to minister the Word of God, to help a Christian use the Word of God to help a Christian, a counselee, to understand what they are going through and what is happening and what is the situation, and to how best respond to that situation to in a way that glorifies God and aids their own sanctification, a growth in Christ's likeness. And so the counselor is someone who is ministering to the Word to a counselee. The other party is the counselee. The counselee is the one who is receiving this information. They are the one who is coming with troubles or problems or challenges or obstacles. They're bringing those things to the counselor and in many ways laying them on the table so that the counselor can begin working through them, looking at them, analyzing them, and helping this person process through the various issues that they're bringing. And in most situations and cases, that is the structure of counseling. You have a counselor, you have a counselee, and they're both working together and trying to trying to resolve the conflict that has brought them there and brought them together. But again, in biblical counseling, there's a third party there, and that third party, that third person, is the one who is empowering the change, is empowering the transformation, is empowering the Word of God that the minister, the counselor, is ministering to the counselee, and is also working in the heart of the counselee to receive that information and to, in many ways, ignite that information with sparks for transformation and change. And so the Holy Spirit, in many ways, presides over a counseling relationship. He is empowering the work of the counselor as the counselor faithfully ministers the Word of God. And he is empowering the counselee to actually practice what they are learning and what they are receiving from the counselor so that there may be genuine and true transformation. And so that within biblical counseling, what you have there is not just simply two parties, but you have a third party, and the presence of that third party, as one understands how counseling is structured, is also provides hope for the counseling. I would personally argue it offers and extends a kind of hope that other counseling models do not have, at least when you consider what the goal of that counseling model is. You see, if the goal of counseling is to be changed, to be transformed, to be renewed. And it's completely up to the counselee to do that on their own. There's only a certain amount of hope, especially if you're engaging with a counselee who has already had a series of seasons of or a pattern of constant failure to rise up to the occasion. If the hope was only in the abilities of the counselor and he was in all that was resting on whether or not there would be change and transformation was on how well the counselor was able to communicate the information in which the counselee needs, then at the same time, what you end up having there is a very limited capacity of hope. That hope is resting in a human being, a flawed human being. It's resting on him and his credentials and training and whatever his abilities is, that's as high as the counseling system is going to work. However, if there is a third party involved, and that third party is the creator of the entire universe, and that third party is one who has covenanted to the counselor that he would be there, that he would empower them, that he would sanctify them, and at the same time has promises that have been given to that minister of the word that he will empower their work, that the word of God itself is going to be empowered, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to pierce the heart and actually, again, change individuals, then the level of hope that can take place within a counseling structure is expanded exponentially. And so one of the benefits and one of the beauties of being a biblical counselor is that as a biblical counselor, as one who recognizes that there are three parties within counseling and the primary party is actually the Holy Spirit of God, I never went out of hope. As long as Jesus is raised from the dead, there is hope that a marriage can be transformed, no matter how bad it looks. As long as the Father is sitting on his throne and Christ is at his right hand and the Holy Spirit is regenerating sinners and saving sinners and is empowering the saints across the globe, and there is always going to be hope for change, for transformation, for sanctification within the counseling room. And what we do know as we enter in counseling is that there is one party that will not fail. The Holy Spirit will not fail in his work. The only way in which counseling can actually be unsuccessful is if one of those two other parties fail. If a counselor does not minister the word of God, but rather seeks to minister opinions and ideas of worldly ideas, and is not faithfully ministering the word in which the Holy Spirit promises to empower, then that counseling may fail. If the counselee is not willing to actually receive the wisdom of the counselor as he ministers the word of God to them, and they're not willing to apply the word of God to their lives and be active in their own sanctification, then the counseling, again, may fail. But the counseling fails not because the Holy Spirit does not do his job or is not keeping his promises. Rather, if counseling fails, it fails because either the word of God was not ministered effectively or the counselee was not willing to apply the word of God that they were receiving. But in counseling, if you have the counselor who is faithful to the word of God and faithful to minister the word of God, and you have counselees who are humble and willing to receive the word and are desperate for the work, desperate for God, desperate for Christ, desperate for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, there is abundant hope that there can be change and transformation within the counseling context. And so what's extremely important is to recognize that in counseling, that and specifically in biblical counseling, that when two parties enter into a counseling relationship, they do not enter into it alone. They enter into counseling with God. And as they enter into counseling with God, they enter into a relationship that has a goal and also has abundant hope that that goal can be achieved. So this brings up a couple questions. For one of the questions that a counselee must ask as they're seeking a counselor is, what role does the counselor see God in their counseling? How does the counselor understand the work and the role of the Holy Spirit within counseling? Because the bottom line is that if the counselor does not see the Holy Spirit as presiding over the counseling relationship, then a couple things will happen. One, they will not be as committed or devoted to ministering the word of God within counseling rather than other things such as opinions and cultural perspectives and all those other kinds of things. You see, when you recognize that as a biblical counselor, it's in the name that your ministry is ministering the Bible, and you do not empower the Bible, but God empowers the Bible. God is the one who empowers his own word. When you recognize that, then you do not have the ambition to enter into your opinions. You recognize that the power to help your counselee is directly tied to the work of the Spirit through the Word. And so there's a greater level of devotion to sticking to the Word rather than to other things. The other thing is that if a counselor does not recognize or does not acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit as presiding over counseling, then you have a counselor who's not going to be leading in hope. You see, there are many times within counseling where the counselor is the only one who is holding on to hope, where the counselees are there because they have basically, in a sense, bankrupt their account of hope. And so they're out of hope. They don't feel like there's any reason to go on. And the only person in that relationship who is going to be able to continue is to press things on is going to be the counselor. The counselor is going to have to, in many ways, carry the hope of both them and the counselee. And if the counselor's hope is only rooted in their own abilities and their own skill, then when things really get ugly and things really get bad and the perception of things is hopeless, then that counselor is not going to be able to effectively lead in hope because their hope was rooted in something other than God. But if a counselor recognizes that the Holy Spirit is the one who is empowering this relationship and is empowering their work through the ministering the word, then that counselor can always be an ambassador for hope. When the counselee is completely bankrupt of hope, the counselor is able to hold them up. He's able to lift them up and continue encouraging them to press on rather than throwing in the chips themselves and walking away. And so a counselee who is deeply struggling and maybe even struggling and challenged with hope must recognize, as they're seeking a counselor, seek someone who has a view of counseling where they recognize the authority and the presence of that third party in counseling. That third party being the Holy Spirit, because that is the person, that is the counselor who is going to have hope even when things seem hopeless. Even when you feel hopeless and you're bringing a mess to them that is by all appearances of hopeless, they will be the ones who are able to look at all that and say, Jesus is risen from the dead. We can press on. And so it's essential that an actual counselor themselves not only recognizes the dynamics of the counseling room of having three parties, but also truly and firmly believes in the presence of the Holy Spirit within biblical counseling, because it is the very word of God that is actually being ministered. On the other side, if a counselee does not understand or recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in regards to their own care, their own soul care, then they will be prone to hopelessness. You see, the counselee, the person being counseled, their acknowledgement and understanding of where God is in the midst of the counseling situation is going to also determine how faithfully they persevere within the counseling situation. You see, counseling does get rough. It can get hard. It can get difficult. It can get to a point where it even feels pointless and hopeless and all those things. And if the only thing that the counselee has to push them forward is the idea that, hey, I have a counselor who's waiting for my appointment, then that's not much fuel to propel someone forward within counseling. But when someone who is deeply struggling and is deeply hurting and is deeply challenged by life circumstances or situations recognizes that, hey, as I'm entering into this and as I'm receiving the word of God to help me be sanctified, to help me glorify God in the midst of my circumstances, I am not at this alone. And I'm not only at this with another individual person, human, but my covenant God is in this with me. He walks into the counseling room with me. He is there with me. He is over this relationship with me. And so as I'm weeping in counseling, as I'm struggling in counseling, as I'm lacking hope in counseling, God is there and God says that I can call on him in my day of trouble. That he is, the Holy Spirit himself is ministering to me as the word is being ministered to me. And so even in the midst of counseling, when I'm struggling to receive what I'm being told, I still have a high priest. I still have a comforter. And I still have someone, the Holy Spirit, whose mission is to provide hope for me. And I can call on him, I can trust in him, and I can rest in him in the midst of counseling. And so recognizing the reality of this three-party system within biblical counseling is essential for faithful and effective counseling, especially when we're dealing with crisis counseling situations and issues with deep challenges and maybe even long-term pain and struggles. And so I hope this episode has been helpful for you. I hope this gives you a new perspective on biblical counseling, that as you reflect on this, and maybe this is something that you haven't considered in regards to what role does God play, or what role does the Holy Spirit play in counseling. I hope that this episode has been encouraging to you and helpful for you. If you are a counselor, I pray that this is something that you'd consider. As you reflect on your own counseling ministry, what role have you placed? Does the Holy Spirit play within your ministry? And if you're someone who is currently thinking about getting counseling, or someone who is currently getting counseling, I want to encourage you to reflect on and think about the reality of God in the midst of your counseling, that He is present, that the Holy Spirit is empowering you to change. The Holy Spirit desires you to change, and He is the one who is giving you hope. And so you're not in this alone. You're not in the process of receiving soul care alone, but God is with you in the midst of the challenges and obstacles that come through counseling. I hope this has been helpful. Grace and peace.